Channel 4 has caused outrage by commissioning a shameless-styled comedy series based on the Irish potato famine. The sitcom called Hungry was recently revealed by Dublin-based screenwriter Hugh Travers, but has been met with strong opposition. An online petition against the programme being made has been signed by almost 29,000 people. So is it fair game, or are there issues that comedy script writers should leave alone? 08459 555 678. You should know the number by now. Joining me this morning, Padraig Reedy, who's the news editor of Index on Censorship, and the commentator, Jude Collins. So Padraig, where do you stand on this? I mean, is everything up for grabs when it comes to sitcom, or are there some areas that you shouldn't venture?
Morning, Joe. Just a slight correction. I'm not news editor at Index and Censorship. I'm a writer for Index.
Oh, apologies. I've given you a promotion by reading out what's in front of me. Take the promotion while it's going. That's what I say.
Exactly. I'm just looking over the petition here, which has emerged. And there's a lot of feeling, obviously, that some subjects are simply off limits completely. And I think that's a very wrong approach to take to culture and to art. We should be able to address things in any way we choose. Now, this sitcom, so to speak, it's not developed into a series. It's a single script which is in development, which may or may not come to pass. And it's simply someone has been commissioned to explore the idea. Whether it comes to pass or not, we don't know yet. So there's a lot of knee-jerk reaction here about a thing that people don't really know what's going to come out of this, and simply saying we cannot at any point make jokes about things that were awful or horrific events. But that cuts off a whole lot of art, it cuts off a hell of a lot of comedy. And if you look at something like The Producers, which is basically a Jewish comic, Mel Brooks making fun of the whole Nazi period. It's, we find humour in darkness sometimes, and I don't think we can just say that a specific period of history is completely off limits.
Is this a step too far, do you feel, Jude Collins?
Well, I think, Joel, in theory, all subjects and events should be the potential for satire. I mean, if we can't laugh at ourselves, there's something wrong in our heads, but that position has a nice, satisfying, liberal ring to it until you get down to practice. Because all subjects and all events aren't acceptable as material for satire. Let's, for example, say we'll make a satire about the death of Ian Paisley. Would that be okay? Let's have a sitcom about child sexual abuse. I mean, after all, most child sexual abuse happens in the home. That would fit nicely into a sitcom. Or let's make a comedy about 9/11 and people jumping out of buildings to their death. Or let us make a comedy about the Ethiopian famine, or wife beating, or the Kingsmill massacre, or Bloody Sunday. I mean, the list goes on, and you know, and I know in our hearts, we would not find that acceptable. So the argument that everything is open to satire actually doesn't stand up when you look at it more carefully. The second thing and point I would make is this: who's going to be behind the making of this program, if it ever comes to light? Now, it's not now a question of the quality of the programme, but the idea of the programme. It's a British television station using an Irish writer for cover. Now, the famine, for some people, is not a famine. It's more often referred to as, in the Irish language, an gorta mór, the great hunger. The definitive historian on that period, Cecil Wyndham Smith, the author of The Great Hunger, said, "No issue has provoked so much anger or so much embittered relations between the countries of Ireland and England as the indisputable fact that huge quantities of food were exported from Ireland to England throughout the period when the people of Ireland were dying of starvation." So you have a country that was historically involved in and to a considerable extent responsible for the death of hundreds of thousands of people who are now going to produce a comic series, TV series on that subject. It's like asking a rapist to write a comedy about rape or a wife-beater to write a comedy about wife-beating.
Padraig Reedy?
I think we're getting to very conspiracist ideas that the British establishment is somehow still laughing at the famine. And
One Dublin councillor, Padraig, David McGuinness, has claimed that the show is intended to embarrass and denigrate one of the most painful periods in Irish history.
I think... Not, that's quite ridiculous. And if we're going to get into how can a British company make a script? And this is all we're talking about. We're talking about a script. We're not talking about a commissioned sitcom. But then you look at something like, say, Roberto Benigni's Life is Beautiful, which was made by an Italian company, by an Italian actor, and God knows the Italian government was complicit in the Holocaust. And it's a comedy based during the Holocaust.
Do you think all subjects are open to satire?
Yes, I think.
The
people of Northern Ireland, of all people, know that satire and comedy is the point. I mean, if you look at someone like a group like the Hole in the Wall Gang has found comedy in the darkness of the Troubles for years.
Answer my question. Do you believe...
I've answered your question already, Jude. Yes, I do think there is...
You do. So you would be in favour of, for example, exploring the possibilities of a sitcom or a satire on the death of Ian Paisley?
Of course I would.
You would.
We can get into an endless bidding war of an endless auction of how offensive.
So we've established
the point is
in
we
satire on the death of Ian Paisley. I think that's interesting.
I'm
conscious that we're naming an individual here, and there's still a grieving family, I take the point you're making. But what about the other side of the coin, Jude? And people have already used the examples this morning. Would this be any worse than something like Blackadder, which was poking fun at the horror of the First World War in the trenches? Would it be that much worse?
Well, I would concede certainly that Blackadder was a very witty series and a very successful series. I'm simply saying that while I kind of...
Based in a horrific period.
Can I kind of finish what I'm saying?
You would not let me finish, Jude.
Let's not get into that. It was a bit early in the year for all that. Let Jude finish, then I'll let you come back in, Parik.
Okay. I would tend to instinctively adopt a liberal position on this and say, oh, well, everything should be open to satire. But then I began to think about it, and I realized that there were a whole range of subjects that simply aren't open to comedy or satire.
Yeah,
child sexual abuse is one of them.
I know that, but I think a lot of people would say a more fair comparison would be the likes of Blackadder, which was a very hideous period in history where also millions of people lost their lives. So if Blackadder is okay, is this okay? Would be their point.
Well, I mean, I think that's a false argument. That's like saying the man down the street beats his wife, so I should beat mine. I should be entitled to beat mine as well. No, the point I'm making is there are subjects which we all know it would be wrong to mock and make a satire of. And I've listed a couple of examples, like more than a couple. 9/11, the Ethiopian famine, wife beating, the Kingsmill massacre, Bloody Sunday. The list just goes on.
And this would also be on the list.
I think definitely there are subjects that are just too painful for people that they would be considered as fit material for satire.
Okay, Pori Greedy, there are so many areas where you could go in search of satire. Why would Hugh Travers want to go here whenever he could go to so many other areas where he could find good material and good circumstances to write a good comedy?
Let's reiterate, we don't actually know what Hugh Travers is going to come up with here. It could be, he is a well-respected, award-winning writer. He may come up, and we are presuming here, we're making an absolute assumption that it's just going to be an utter mockery and parody. It could be a very different piece.
It could be a sitcom, I suppose, Jude Collins set in that time, a la Dad's Army, which was set in the, period of the Second World War, but it just set in that time.
Well, I'm not arguing against, I'm not concerned about the quality of this potential sitcom. I'm saying the subject, regardless of the quality that might emerge, I'm just saying that this is a subject that is not fit material for mockery or for satire or for a sitcom.
Even if a very worthwhile piece of art emerged from this, you would still disagree with it being made.
Sorry, say that again?
Even if a very worthwhile piece of art emerged from this, you still don't think it should be made. That's what you're saying.
I don't believe that a sitcom should be developed finding humour in the deaths of hundreds of thousands and millions of people.
And we go back to the Black Elephant argument.
You may think that's rather odd of me, but I would think most people would feel the same way.
I don't think that's odd of you at all, Julie. I just disagree with you. But as I say, we get into a weird Dutch auction of things that are acceptable and things that are not. And I think
we can only
judge art on the art that emerges, not on prejudged notion of how, of what and who decides. Who decides what's a fit topic and what isn't? You seem to think you can speak for many people.
I'm entitled to an opinion.
You came up with a list of things that you think.
And we've been there. What about the point, Jude, that maybe some have made to say, well, you know, at least wait and see what the writers come up with first of all, and then make the judgment.
Oh, no, because that's saying I would approve a good quality, witty satire on the famine, whereas I would condemn a poor quality satire on the famine. I'm opposed to a satire on the famine under any terms.
Let me go to Mark in Belfast, 0845955678. Mark, what's your view this morning?
Hey, Angel. Just like they asked, did you not defend the guys that wrote the play about Christianity that the unionist politicians voted against being shown out in the Newton Abbey Civic Centre last year?
I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I would respect their right to...
Yes, what I'm saying is, but let me finish, Jude. Did you not actually defend their position in that, when that their subject in itself offends a lot of Christians? I'm not a Christian and it didn't offend me. And yes. I actually, like yourself, don't think that a comedy about this subject that you're talking about would be appropriate, like many other subjects. But it's very good, Jude, when you listen to you on the radio, mate, because you have a niceless agenda. And you
Jude's
here to give an opinion, so you know that's a fine. No. I mean, he's invited only. He gives his opinion, and that's it. And some will agree, and some will disagree. But on the wider point, Jude, if that was the case, you know, where some will say supported a satire on the Bible, but not a satire about the famine.
Well, that's a choice that they can make. We're talking today about a satire on the famine. And I'm giving my reasons why I believe it would be distasteful and, in fact, disgusting.
But you don't feel that a satire about the Bible would fall into the same category?
Well, frankly, no. But that's an individual case, no. But I would respect people who would feel it offensive. I mean, they're entitled to their views, certainly.
Joe,
and if enough people objected, then you could argue a case for saying, well, then it shouldn't be produced. That's not one I share.
I want to get to Joe. Sorry for cutting you off, Joe, because we've only a few minutes left. There's a lot of callers. Morning, Joe.
Good morning. I'd just like to put the point. First of all, I thought it was a bit distasteful to mention Ian Paisley. That's got nothing to do with it whatsoever. But I listened to Joan Rivers, listened to her the other night, and she made jokes about the Holocaust and one thing or another, and she actually made jokes about 9/11. You know, just to lift people up a wee bit, because they were well down in those periods. As I said, Jude doesn't like...
But do you, and when you were listening to that, Joe, did you find that offensive, or do you find that's black humour, that's the way it is?
I laughed. Honestly, I laughed. You know what I mean? Because I've got to get through this life anyway. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't like it, why does he just turn it off and don't look at it and don't read it?
Ned's on the line this morning. Morning, Ned.
Good morning.
Where do you stand on this one, Ned?
Could you imagine what outcry it would be if this was made about the Holocaust? What you got to understand about the famine, okay, the potatoes failed, but you got to understand what happened with regards to the English, how they treated the Irish. For every boatload of food sent to Ireland for to help the people, those poor left the country. Taken by the English, so where the hell are you?
But in terms of, I mean, you mentioned the Holocaust there. I mean, you've heard Joe, and he's saying, you know, Joan Rivers making jokes about the Holocaust, and he actually saying, you know, he laughed, he found it funny. Is this all down to a person's sense of humour and their personal preference?
Everything can offend anybody, we know that. But you've got to understand, I don't think it's proper at all.
This is a step people too far. This is a step too far for you, Ned.
Make fun about it.
This is a step too far for you.
Far, far too far.
Okay, Ned. Appreciate you calling this morning.
Thanks to all our contributors. Thanks to all our callers, Jude Collins and Pori Greedy, who we inadvertently promoted. Apologies for that, but I'm sure he'd be quite happy to take any promotions that are going.